This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
All right, we're not excited for the season. No, no excitement at all. Three quarterbacks. All right.
Morning.
We'll get there eventually, Kenny.
God willing.
It's only April. Come on.
What, three quarterbacks are excited for the season?
Well, I'm just saying, what does it matter where you are right now? I mean, by the time we get there, it'll be football season. We'll be excited. Right now, it's NBA playoff season. It's WNBA draft. It's golf season. It's Masters. It's just a different time of the
Maybe
year.
Maybe for you, it's OTA season.
Well, that's true. We do that NFL
draft
thing.
Rookie minicamps coming up.
Yeah, we got rookie minicamps coming up. I mean, come on now. Come on. You know what we also have, folks?
What's that?
Vice President J.D. Vance dropping the national championship trophy. Thank God that there were good Buckeye players there to get it. I kind of feel bad for grown men dropping things? No. I could understand the situation, I guess I should say. So yesterday the Buckeyes went and they saw the president. Because, you know, we got to see the president again. They won the national championship. They got the rings on Saturday.
Yeah.
Did you get three rings if you were a Buckeye player?
I saw somebody
holding up three rings during the spring game on Saturday.
What, for
the Bulls? I was watching it back on Sunday, and they were holding up three rings.
They played four playoff games. They did not win the Big Ten.
But you get
they did not beat Michigan. Well,
yeah, I know. But we know that. But do they get rings for the bowl games too?
I guess probably makes sense, right?
The first game at home was just a playoff game.
Oh, okay.
Then there were two bowl games and then the national championship game, right? So you get three rings. They were all of equal size. They were all huge. They were all gaudy. Like, you can't just wear that ring out. Everybody's going to look at your hand and go, oh my God. And then I feel they've become so big. There's really nowhere to wear the thing.
No.
You can't just wear it out for a night. Like, you see Super Bowl rings. Like, Gerard's Super Bowl rings are still large. Well, I think he has one because he gave the other two away for charity, I think it was, or something like that. But he's got one. I know he's got one.
He gave away two.
The ring he wears is like, yeah, you notice it, but he can pick up food and write and things like that with the ring on. You can't do anything with the ring on.
No,
they're so large.
They're so bulky. They're so clunky. Like, you'd hurt yourself trying to do anything with
them. The one was literally, I mean, from the back of I think the national championship ring that opens up, the one opens up.
Okay.
Because you need one to open up there. And, I mean, what the hell, right? When are you going to win national championships, right? So it goes, like, to the back of the knuckle all the way to the first knuckle. The back of the first knuckle there on your hand all the way to the second knuckle there in the middle of the finger. Like, it's that big of a ring. So they got their rings on Saturday, and then yesterday they went and they visited the President of the United States, and they visited the Vice President because he went to Ohio State. He's an alum, if you haven't noticed. And as he was picking up the trophy is connected to the base. There's a big black base, and then there's the gold trophy that sits on top of it, the national championship trophy.
I always just thought it was one thing.
I did too. So when people are like, oh my God, did you see the gaffe? And I go, I hate to tell you, I probably would have done the same thing.
Yeah, if somebody didn't tell them.
I would have done the same thing.
Like, hey, be careful. You need to support it a certain way because it's actually two separate pieces that are conjoined.
Yeah. Somebody got us some audio here. Actually, Mitch got us audio. Lyman's favorite news station. Here is Connell McShane.
Let's go.
On News Nation reacting to the J.D. Vance dropping of the trophy. Hit it.
Let's take this shot full for a moment and let's just see what happens there. What did the vice president drop over there? Did anybody see that? Did he drop the trophy? Oh, come on, Mr. Vice President. He's on the left side of the screen. Just as we're going back to it live, J.D. Vance, who's an Ohio State graduate himself, by the way. Let's listen. Is there audio? I'm sure Trump's getting on him about this. No? Oh, it's just music? Oh, jeez. So anyway, the president's posing there with his Buckeye helmet and number 47 jersey that's being presented to him. It looked like the vice president went over to pick up the national championship trophy and the thing, oh my, I thought he slipped. The thing slipped, so.
The broadcast makes it more awkward than it was in real life. Mm-hmm. Audio courtesy of News Nation.
Well, there was, because I had heard another feed, and there was a little bit of gasping, like, oh, as if.
Well, you don't want the thing to fall and break.
As if it's destroyed and they're not going to get another one or whatever.
If it falls and actually mm-hmm. gets dented, like it's like, oh, that's the dented trophy.
Yeah. Yeah. If anything,
it's your personal crack at the Liberty Bell. Yeah. Like 100 years ago, they visited the White House and Vice President J.D. Vance picked up the trophy and he dropped it because of the base. And now that's why there's that dent in the top of the trophy. Didn't drop. Actually, two players were able to hold on to the trophy.
They're not attached
itself.
At all. They're not. No. It's not like, oh, it's attached. But it's so finicky, it's feeble, it'll fall off if it's you don't bear the weight correctly. No, they're not attached at all, which just kind of stunned me, which I'm sure obviously stunned the vice president.
Because you always see it, and when you see it, I rarely see anybody holding the trophy. It's always sitting in the corner of an end zone when they come back from break, and it's sitting on that base, so you just assume the base is part of the trophy. Like, before Ohio State won the national championship and I saw Jim Tressel pick up the crystal football, I just assumed that whole thing was the trophy. I didn't realize that huge, huge base is just what looks like a tombstone.
The kicking tee? Yeah.
Yes, is a base. And then everything else is the trophy itself. The crystal ball is the trophy. Mm-hmm. I just assumed that whole thing was the base or the trophy.
So here's the bigger question. I saw a lot of anti-Buckeye people saying that this is a bad omen. I mean, I saw political people making fun of Vance, whatever. But that could have happened to anybody.
What?
That wouldn't have mattered.
What's the omen?
Who the hell? That
they're not going to win it this year? You know, it's hard to go back-to-back in a playoff.
Not only are they not going to win it, that bad things are going to happen to Ohio State.
Ooh,
I mean, you've seen the Deer Hunter.
Hocus pocus.
You've seen the Deer Hunter. You know,
Is the national championship trophy that is paid for by a bunch of sponsors sacred or...
No, just the champion. That bad things are going to happen in the program. So you've seen the Deer Hunter. There's a famous scene with the with the wine getting spilled on the veil of the bride.
Yes,
and it's supposed to be this ancient, a custom that if any wine gets spilled whatsoever, it's bad for the marriage. We know what happens at the end of the movie.
Ends up being pretty bad for the marriage.
Yeah, pretty bad. And they trace it right directly back to that. So if you believe in that kind of thing, is this something that now Ohio State football is going to be operating under the cloud of that gaffe yesterday?
Only the base fell. The trophy itself did not fall. And it's a national championship trophy in college football. It's not like the flag can't touch the ground. Like, this is not... Nissan paid for this thing. Guys, I mean, what the hell are we talking about
here? Well, I'm trying to think. What would be the really bad thing that could happen? Could all the boosters... All the boosters one day decide they're actually going to support Ohio State basketball instead of football. Like, what would be
you'd have something to root for?
What would be the bad omen?
It'd be worse for us because we got a nice influx of Ohio State fans become Akron basketball fans. So I guess that would be the omen.
Jumped
for
on
me.
The bandwagon. That's right.
Would the omen be that you have players who pull a Nico Iamalieva on you in game 13 of the season? Is that a possibility?
Well, screw that. Do it halfway through the year.
Is there a possibility that you lose Jeremiah Smith for his junior year to go somewhere else? Who, I saw the picture of him and Tyvus. He looks like he's got to unhinge his jaw and eat Tyvus. I did not realize
that. He's massive.
He's so big.
This is what I keep coming back to. If they're telling me that Travis Hunter is this all-time wide receiver prospect, which I hadn't heard all year until a week ago, what are they going to say about Jeremiah Smith, who's clearly a better wide receiver prospect? Yes.
Greatest pure wide receiver ever. This is Josh Gordon without all the other problems.
But I'm like, is that just going to go away the more he plays? Is it right now, the fact that he played 1 year, he was amazing.
Guys,
the more he plays, is it only going to give people an opportunity to say he's not going to be an all-time great?
I beg your pardon. If he continues to play anywhere near this, or like there's bound to be, so they're going to cover him different thing, blah, 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 blah. If he plays anywhere near this, he's going to be the first draft prospect. Like, you're just saying things to say things because you need draft time and something to get worked up about. Unless,
which I kind of think it's happening now with this draft class.
Well, more than likely. But for him, I think he's honestly the perfect wide receiver specimen that I've ever seen. Because, Josh Gordon was, so many people get obsessed with the results. I go, no. Prospect-wise, I think he was the greatest I ever saw. And people get upset about that, but I go, no, he had his problems, and he's not the greatest ever because he wasn't around long enough to do that, but he was the greatest prospect I think we've ever seen, and the what-ifs are always there. But this guy is unbelievable. This guy is something else, and he looks like a comic book character. This is something else by this guy. So, I mean, you look forward to what he could do. You still got to get somebody to throw him the damn football.
Yeah.
But if you get somebody to throw him the damn football, it's like, well, I might as well just put up a tent and forget about it. Like, this isn't going to be fair. Like, if he ends up somehow in the hands of the Chiefs, I might as well just give up watching the game and go watch college football or get myself into lacrosse or something else like that. Also, you know who else is strong? Nick Chubb. There was a video he posted yesterday of himself on Instagram. He's squatting over 500 pounds again.
Boy, wasted little time, right? When did he get injured?
Later in the season, but he's squatting. Well, they said it was going to be a quick recovery on the bone that he broke in his foot.
This is unbelievable.
It was not the biggest break ever, but they said it was going to be quick, and he's in this video squatting well over what looks like 500 pounds.
It is. I'm not
Ronnie Coleman style, heavy ass weight.
I can't just gloss over the fact that this dude broke something and is already doing this April. I don't care what anybody said.
Well,
especially considering he had healed from another.
This is also a sales pitch.
Break.
This is also a sales pitch because I don't think it's lost on Nick Chubb that Browns fans want him back. But it's been a few weeks, obviously, since free agency. It's been a month. And I thought maybe he would get signed at the end of week two. Like we before free agency, I was on with you and I was going, he ain't gonna sign week one with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
He'll make it to the end of week. And now here we are a month later, and it's like, well, what are we gonna do with him?
Why did you say at the time you didn't think he'd be signed? Did you think the market for Nick Chubb wasn't gonna
be injuries,
or do you think he was gonna be picky?
Well, look at the draft too coming up. Like I think he might be. Like, he's gonna be post draft. I think because you could have. I think you're gonna have 10 or 11 guys get drafted.
Oh yeah,
as a running back, it's a. You could have upwards of two or three guys in the first round end up getting drafted. The kid out of UNC, obviously Ashton Jenny, and some people, a lot of people are really liking Trevion Henderson. Like, he could end up being back end day one.
I know.
And so if you got three running backs going in the first round, you have 10, 11 overall double-digit running backs. Like, okay, that's it. Like, you're going to have to figure out a spot after the draft for Nick because Nick is approaching a advanced age for a running back, obviously.
So
he's coming off of two injuries, one very serious.
So we're kind of in agreement. There's not much of a market for Nick Chubb.
Not right. Not what we thought there was. No.
So,
which is, I think, good for a Browns fan. Right?
Yeah, I guess I would ask then, do we think the Browns have already given him an offer of some sort behind the scenes? Or do you think they've just moved on entirely?
No, so it would have been reported. Wouldn't it have been reported? Wouldn't somebody have told Mary Kay that the Browns have made an offer or have an offer for Nick Chubb?
So to make the Browns look good to the fans that are
I don't know.
Just irritated that we've gotten to this point?
Yes, to some level, yes. Whether or not that offer is realistic or insulting, that's different.
Man, I feel like they're all going to be insulting to Nick Chubb at this stage.
Well, I'm sorry. I wish it was different. I hate to be that way. It's kind of the way the NFL goes. I don't want to be a downer with him.
Just go through the logic would dictate that not much of a market for him. The Browns could use some good PR. The Browns have endless money to spend just for, especially for veterans. Like, it's not going to break the bank. Now we're hearing that, they're going to get substantial cap relief potentially if the reports are correct about Deshaun Watson's injury, whatever. So that's not a barrier. So What's the holdup here?
Value. And if they can get younger at the position and better at the position.
Well, I think they're going to try to do that. They could do that.
So we're going to probably have to wait until after the draft. I know everybody wakes up and, hey, it's a good day to sign Nick Chubb. And I agree it's a good day to sign Nick Chubb. Any day is a good day to sign Nick. But I think we're probably going to end up having to wait until after the draft. I mean, you got, again, look at the names. Remember the names that we bring up here. Ashton Jenny, Omarion Hampton, Trevion Henderson, Quinshon Judkins, Caleb Johnson, a fireball out of Iowa. Like that kid, but he's probably going to go day two. Ollie Gordon, we've talked about him
Our
a ton.
Our fans only know Scadaboo.
Scadaboo's been in
Price
town.
It took that long
yeah,
to
why
say
didn't
Scadaboo?
You lead with Scadaboo?
Because I'm going by the what they have as the ranking. I'm not going to sit there and just say Cam Scadaboo.
Scadaboo looks like us, Kenny. He looks like us.
What are you trying to say?
He looks like Cleveland.
All right.
I mean,
well,
that's Moses Cleveland right there. What's the problem? Hand in the pick. Let's go. Number two overall.
He'll be very good in the NFL.
Remove one of the bees.
He'll be very good in the NFL in red zone situations because no one can catch you from behind in the third row. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not hating on the young man.
What did he get at the...
I'm not being a hater.
What's his 40 time?
15-8. I don't know what his 40 time is. I don't know. He's a big burly back. He's been used a bunch. He had 293 carries yesterday.
He did not run at the combine.
I actually wrote burly. I wrote burly. I didn't realize I wrote burly.
He was okay. They got him reportedly at the 40-yard dash at his pro day, 4.65. See, he runs a 4.8.
No, come on, call it a 4.6.
He runs a 4.8.
Hey, if he's our version of Leroy Horde, that's fine. Remember what Leroy
said? Jacoby Brissett numbers.
That is. Yes, that's right.
But you always remember what Leroy Horde said. You need 1 yard, I'm going to get you 3 yards. You need 5 yards, I'm going to get you 3 yards.
That's a great line.
Now the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
Well, I'm going to start in the NBA for last night's news yesterday, gentlemen, as some reports came yesterday, an announcement rather, by the New Orleans Pelicans that their executive, David Griffin, formerly of the Cleveland Cavaliers, is out after 6 seasons. Team Governor Gail Benson said yesterday in a statement, quote, "This is a difficult decision, but one I feel is necessary at this time to bring a fresh approach to our front office and build a culture that will deliver sustainable success on and off the court," unquote. There was a time where people weren't sure if Kobe Altman would outlast David Griffin as an executive, and here we are.
Yes. Also, how much credit does David Griffin get for the 2016 championship? Because it seems like he is forgotten, and I wonder how many people out there know that he was the general manager. Been 8 years.
Yeah, I bet if you went out on the streets of Cleveland and just started doing a man on the street and just started asking people randomly who the GM was, I do not think a majority of people, not even close to a majority of people, would say his name. You know, he's drafted very well with New Orleans. So it's very unfortunate that team has just been abysmal. And it all starts, obviously, with one guy and
yep.
one guy's health. But you're right, Kenny. I always wonder how much credit anybody wants to give Ty Lue for that title. Kyrie was the guy that hit the freaking shot.
This is exactly why a lot of fans want the Cavs to win so bad, because it's become, as you said, whose title it is.
It's LeBron's title.
It's LeBron's title. And it doesn't feel like it's anybody else's title but LeBron's. And I think a lot of fans don't like that. And this team, like, if this were a championship team this year, say they win it, is it Donovan's title? No. Not a chance. You think it is, Mitch?
I would think he's the veteran of the team, the leader of the team.
But this is not like what LeBron... LeBron, it's like his own personal championship now.
The LeBron thing is different because he said, hey, I'm going to come home to win a title. I'm going to do it. Basically guaranteed it. And then it happened. Like that who else could fit under that?
The race is on this year. The first one to write it and say, I'm going to do this for you guys, Cleveland. They get Evan Mobley just put it out there, and then he gets to be his title.
Yeah, someone should claim the championship if they win it.
Still in the NBA yesterday, the Phoenix Suns are officially one and done once again for the second straight year with a championship-winning head coach, by the way. Last year was Frank Vogel. This year, Mike Budenholzer, after the Suns dropped to a 36-46 record, not even in the play-in tournament. this season. I believe it's reported that Budenholzer could earn up to $40 million over the next 4 years if he doesn't take another head coaching job. Not a bad spot.
Good for him. To hell with them. I don't care. Whatever you got, go ahead.
Whoa, all right. Kenny.
What? You want it succinct? There you go.
Well, we talk all the time about how much we think the coaches matter and how many more championship coaches, you know, need to get fired in the NBA before they just... They tell you it's not necessarily don't matter in that year, but they definitely don't think that you're losing out at all by just moving on from a guy. And you wonder, why does that apply to the NBA and not the other sports? Because obviously the talent matters in all the sports.
But I think the talent matters more in the NBA. You either have the guy or you don't have the guy, which is something we say for every sport. But it just matters more in the NBA because like there's less players on the floor. You have 22 in football. You have 10 at any given time in baseball, plus 11, 12, 13 with the bases loaded. I mean, there's not very much else you could put out there.
True, but how many teams truly have a chance in the NFL right now? We keep talking about we need a quarterback to even compete. And then you have the elite quarterbacks. And, of course, how much easier is the job of Andy Reid? And how much easier is the job of any of the teams that have the elite quarterbacks? Like,
I mean, when you can only put them out there, I understand that, but when you can only put five out there, it really becomes difficult for you.
Speaking of football on the college side, there was an announcement yesterday from the University of Colorado. During their spring game, set for a couple of weeks from now, I believe, they are retiring the jersey numbers of Shedeur Sanders, number 2, and Travis Hunter, number 12. It's actually this Saturday the spring game will be. What do you think of this jersey retirement? Does this
it's ridiculous?
Hell yeah!
It's ridiculous. Yeah, ooh. It's ridiculous. Well, did they retire? I mean, they have a national championship. Colorado,
and I'm sure they retired the players on that national. Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, who was
they'd be out 90 numbers then?
I'm looking it up right now.
Not all the numbers.
Yeah, right. Which ones do they have to do?
That's like a dirt track out there.
That would be hilarious.
Well, no, you have to ask.
They're all triple digits now.
There are some old players that I don't even think anybody remembers here, except for Colorado. Byron White, we have there. Joe Romig, Bobby Anderson, Rashad Salam. There you go. Then Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter.
Okay.
Is that Wizard White?
Why is Shedeur Sanders' number retired?
Like, oh, my God, I got it right.
How is Cordell Stewart's number not retired?
Yeah, Cordell was a much better player at Colorado than Shedeur Sanders.
Byron Wizard White, which is there's a trophy named after him, an award. Who is better than Shedeur Sanders? He's just said
Cordell Stewart.
Cordell Stewart.
I'm not saying that he's better or not, but he's definitely a name.
He's a better college player. Yes.
So wait, Colorado won the title in 90. Does that mean that no players on their team got their number retired? Because Salam's the closest one. He was 93 to 94.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird that a coach, because obviously you're assuming this is just decreed from Dion. And I like a lot of what Dion and Colorado's doing.
I don't know if Cordell Stewart is better than Shedeur Sanders in college, but I don't think he was.
What, are you just going to use passing stats?
No, I don't think he was. I think that he's a bigger name.
I thought he was way better.
If he goes
way better.
Oh, yeah, because Anthony Lima was really breaking down the tape in 1990. I forgot.
He was
a
sports boy.
Yeah. He was sports boy Tony.
That's actually
he was breaking
when
it down.
I watch more tape than I do now.
1993, Colorado Buffalo.
I have kids now. Kids Lyman, have occupied a lot of that
Lyman
time.
Lyman is the authority on Colorado Buffalo football from 1994,
everybody. Play video games and coach every day. How much game film are you going over?
Not 1994. Not 1994.
Can I bring up a college player who will deserve their jersey retirement here in time?
Who?
With the first pick in the 2025 WNBA draft, the Dallas Wings select Paige Beckers, University of Connecticut.
All right, good for her. I don't care now because I want this guy to know that Cordell Stewart ain't better than Shedeur Sanders.
He was. He was in college.
No, he wasn't.
Yes, he was.
No, he wasn't. you're high.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
Run a poll, and football guy, let's see football guys get in this one.
Oh, I'm sure Shedeur Sanders is going to win.
Not just people under the age of 20.
Repeat the question to me so I get it right.
Who is the better college quarterback, Shedeur Sanders or Cordell Stewart?
Got it. Audio courtesy of ESPN. That's it for About Last Night.
All right. And by the way, congratulations to Paige. I love how WNBA doesn't mess around. They get right to it. Right to it with the WNBA draft.
Well, Mitch set this up for me, and I'm sorry, Mitch. I got so preoccupied with the silly Cordell Stewart take that he had. I was watching the WNBA draft last night. There were no Guardians. There were no Cavs. I got to watch something. WNBA drafts on.
Why did you feel you had to justify?
Because everybody jumped my ass.
Kenny's going to get attacked by the chauvinists.
I said it yesterday, and everybody jumped my ass going, why? Oh, really? And I go, well, all I said was, can't we host this when we get a team? Can't we host the WNBA draft? We can't do that? No?
Yeah. Why? Okay. Of course.
Which then everybody started making jokes about that. I go, okay, well, if I'm just, the internet's the wrong place to say these things.
We want all the big events.
Yes. I would like, when do we get a team? 2028?
Yeah, it's a couple
years. What
year
is it?
Is it official?
Do we get a team when Juju Watkins comes out?
I know they put out an announcement, and then I stopped paying attention. I don't know if WNBA agreed that, yes, they can have a team.
I'm too busy thinking about Cordell Stewart versus Shedeur Sanders. 28. I'm sorry. 28? Okay, so next year's 26. Oh, so it'd be after Juju Watkins.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Donovan Mitchell's the biggest name on the Cavs. I don't think he's going to be able to do very much without Evan Mobley. I talked to Jason Lloyd on Saturday on the show that Lima was supposed to be on, but apparently he was sick. And this is what Jason said. So I'm sorry, I had to ask him. I asked Jason who had the more pressure on them. Was it Evan Mobley or was it anybody else in the Cavs is what Jason had to say.
I think the player with the most pressure on him is Donovan. I hear what you say on Evan, and I guess I would tend to agree to a certain extent, but Evan is still young with a lot of career in front of him. He just got his max deal. He still has time. Donovan has been in this league for quite a few years now. He's never made it out of the second round. He knows it. He's well aware of it. He knows that's his reputation. He had a team that was the top seed in the West in Utah a few years ago, and they got bounced in the second round of the Clippers. They had a 2-0 lead in the series, and they lost four in a row. And that can't keep happening. And that's why Donovan is the one who, on the record, off the record, Donovan's the one who says, we ain't won anything yet. Like, we haven't accomplished anything. And he's right. And I think he very much sees the bigger picture in all this. He's a multiple-time All-Star. He's got the All-NBA teams. He's onto his second max contract now. And he's got all the money. He's got all the riches. He's got all the fame. He's got everything except the winning. To not even make it to a conference final yet, I think it's gnawing at him a little bit. And he's the leader of this team for at least a little bit longer.
Atlanta takes on Orlando tonight at Orlando at 7:30 in the first game of the play-in games. And Miami's at Chicago tomorrow at 7:30. From a national perspective, obviously, I don't disagree. I do think that I might be splitting hairs here a little bit because I think Evan Mobley, I think it's underrated how much pressure he has on him. If he can't become dominant inside, dominant's a hell of a word once you get to Boston, but if he can't hold his own on the inside, I think it really limits what Darius certainly and what Donovan can do on the outside for the team. I did go further and ask Jason about that, and he said that Evan might be the most impactful player coming up in the postseason.
I do think when we look back at the end of these finals, Evan Mobley will be the most impactful player on this team. No matter where this ends, I think we're going to look back and say this is becoming Evan Mobley's team. And frankly, I think it needs to be that way. You can win a title with an undersized guard as your best player. It has happened before, yes. But those are the exceptions. That's not the norm. The norm is you need a big, dynamic, playmaking wing or a big to carry you. And on this team, that has to be Evan Mobley. Evan Mobley has to be the best player on this team for them to win a championship. And I think he's more than capable of doing it. I've been on Team Evans all along. There was some rough patches there where you start to wonder if he's ever going to fulfill his potential. And he's gotten there this year. He's now seen it. He's feeling it. He's growing into the player that he can be.
I like to start fights with Jason, but I didn't want to start fights because I go, well, if he's got to be the best player, the most impactful player for them to win a championship, wouldn't that put the most pressure on him? Yes, I understand it's parsing words. Yes, I know we're splitting hairs here, but I think that that's part of it here. Like, if they don't do well, like, I don't think Evan's going to all of a sudden, I don't think he's going to be maligned with the fan base as much as maybe. I think Darius Garland would become the scapegoat for a lot of people there, but I just think there's a lot more pressure on Evan Mobley than what we realize here, considering he's the wing with the future on this team, Anthony.
Yeah, I just don't think that pressure really kicks in yet, because I don't think the expectations are there yet. I can sense that, you know, it's building. It's building for him as people continue to be in awe, but I think it's because we know he's nowhere near a finished product. And that's what's exciting about Evan, is that he's showing a little more almost every game. He's showing a little more ability to put it on the deck and to spin around guys and to, use off one foot, off two, you know, depending on the situation. Like, he's feeling defenders out. And as he's getting older and the guys guarding him are getting younger, which is going to happen every year, I think that's what's so exciting. But I still can't think it's going to be on anybody other than Donovan, you know, maybe this is the final year that that's the case. Because maybe they're at that point where that they're intersecting, where not that Donovan's going to go low, you know, it's going to start to, the stock is going to go down on him yet because his game should age just fine over the next few years. But it's that Evans is clearly going up. But I think we all know, like, he's the leader. He's the guy they feed off of. His is the identity that they all follow. You know, I think they're such a...
That's true.
I think they're such a loose bunch because of him. I think they feed off of him. And that's why I am so excited to see whether or not he can defy all the stuff that we kind of know about champions and teams and the way they're constructed. And he has a chance to defy so much of that in this playoff run, which I think is going to be awesome. Awesome to see with the Cavs as the one seed, especially with the route that they have. I mean, this is beautiful. If they were in the Western Conference, I'd be nervous in the first round. But that's not going to be the case. I'm not going to be truly nervous. Maybe until a team beats them at home or whatever. But I'm not going to be truly nervous until that Boston.
Like I give people the schedule just so they know the schedule, because again, you got Atlanta and Orlando tonight, then you got Miami and Chicago tomorrow. I don't think it matters. I don't think first round matchup matters to anybody.
No,
I mean, because I think I'll accept anything that's given, but considering the way that we went through the regular season, I mean, any one of these teams that you play, Miami without a Jimmy Butler, Chicago is Chicago, Atlanta, I did see that George is getting a little spicy on the internet with Ty Jerome a little bit, so that's a little bit fun, but other than that, I don't think that I take anybody very seriously here within the first round of the play.
Why would you? It's the Eastern Conference, you know, those bottom teams have been either injured or tanking, or, you know, they've made trades at the deadline, so they're not really trying to win. You know, somebody's got to make the playoffs in the East, so they're going to be the sacrificial lambs to the Cavs, and it's going to allow them to get healthy. They're not going to have to run their guys 40-some minutes a night in a first-round series, which the teams out West will. I mean, look at those Western matchups. I mean, can you imagine having to play the Clippers in the first round of the playoffs and going up against Kawhi? Holy cow, Zubac.
That'd be terrible, yes.
Like, yeah, like they would scare you. They could take you 6 or 7 games. Hell, they could win a series. So this is such a benefit of them. And not only they earned it. They got the one seed. So, you know, they have home court. But Donovan is the one, Kenny, I keep stressing. And I really do feel like that pressure is on him, because even Donovan's like, yeah, I'm going to relax this regular season. Donovan could have played. You know, there's a discussion about whether to take him off now, the All-NBA first team, and put Steph on there. And it's like, well, Steph had to play to game 82, balls to the walls, because they're still in the play-in. Like, Cavs didn't have to do that. He sacrificed. Donovan sacrificed this entire season. Let other guys have numbers. Let other guys get those experiences. Because he knows it's about the playoffs now. And the Cavs have been one of those great success stories where they did treat the regular season like it mattered. They didn't just throw away games the way that so many good teams do. The Boston Celtics threw away a bunch of games because they determined that, all right, the finals is going to be what matters, or getting to the finals, winning and being able to repeat and defend the championship. Donovan was like, let's get everybody involved. Let's be the deepest team in the league. Let's make sure there's no egos on this team.
It seems Kenny Atkinson agrees. I mean, good guy. Yeah. At least in the first round, it looks like he's going to keep
the
rotations pretty heavy.
Yeah, we'll see if they can get away with that in the second round. But they can get away with that easily in the first round. But it's all set up for Donovan now to put this team on his back. I know it sounds like, you know, you don't want to rely on one guy. In the end, we know what's going to happen with 5 minutes left in close games and you're on the road. I mean, the ball is going to be in Donovan's hands. Doesn't mean he's not willing to give it up and find other guys and make the right basketball play. But we know in those press conferences right after those games, Donovan's going to have that mic up there on the dais, and he's going to be asked about critical moments. And he knows it's his team. That's pressure.